Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Live, it's talk radio that you control. 603-283-6160. You can get on the air with us on Free Talk Live. And with you in the studio today, it's me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Nikki.
And that number is 603-283-6160 if you want to get in on the last hour of Free Talk Live with us. We do have a caller. We have Matthew calling in. Matthew, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm just calling because Nikki was talking about DUIs and getting pulled over. I think that the cops put out a lot of misinformation about it, and it makes it confusing. And so the thing is that, I mean, not a lawyer, not legal advice, but the key there is that the only thing they can actually convict you on is a breath or blood sample. And so what will happen is that if you don't, you can refuse the field sobriety test, like the walking the line, touching your nose. You can absolutely refuse that. If you refuse the breath or blood sample, they'll hit you with an implied consent violation, which basically says that when you got a driver's license, you agreed that you would be subject to that kind of testing.
Yes.
And so you should never take the field sobriety test. And they couch it in language like, I just want you to prove to me that you're safe to drive. That's a lie. They're just trying to catch you so what will happen is that they'll take that body cam footage and they'll be like, hey, you were unstable. You didn't follow the directions exactly as I put them out. And so the field sobriety test is really just a trap to get you to like, oh, I think I can beat this. You will never beat it. It's not possible to beat it.
Rigged.
Even if you do everything perfectly.
Yeah.
You'll do fine. But if you refuse the blood test.
LRN.FM.
Well, I hope I got it in time.
Sorry,
I can't stay on the air. But I don't think you meant to say that. But I didn't know. Like when Nikki said that, I honestly was like, wow, I didn't know. But if you can't, the main thing is just like don't get in conversation with cops. Like if you're able to, like I did get a cop have me do a breathalyzer thing, but I could have stopped it. I could have nipped it in the bud kind of thing. I could have been just like, I'm not getting any closer to you. In my case, I actually wasn't driving. It sounds crazy, but they said that I admitted I drove to work. I had been there for an hour, and they said I was drunk and that I smelled like alcohol. If I would have just said I'm not talking to you and not getting any closer because I was far away with the way that my desk was set up at this hotel, then I wouldn't have had, I don't think they would have had the opportunity to even ask me to take the test.
Yeah, exactly.
So not talking to cops is the best policy. Thank you for the call, Matthew.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. So, and I have heard this before where, like, even just having a driver's license, like, you consent to doing a breath test.
Maybe it's not
but
the same
I just
state,
don't.
But I don't know.
I don't see how, doing the breath test is just a bad idea.
Yeah.
Because especially if you know you're drunk, that's just evidence against you. Obviously, like, different in your case, Bonnie, because you weren't actually drunk at that point. But it's just really, like, if you've been drinking, like, that is just creating evidence against you. Like, don't do any of their tests. Just say, no, I'm not. And they're gonna arrest you.
They're gonna
bring you to the police station. So, and I think a lot of people are just trying to avoid that. They don't want their car to get towed. They don't want to deal with the mess.
I got taken out of the hotel I was working at. I was the only employee there. They had to call my boss and tell her to come show up in the middle of the night because they were arresting me for some bogus thing. It made me look really bad. Luckily, I didn't get fired.
Yeah, of course. And this is the thing with the police. I mean, their job is to harass you. So you can, and people are just trying their best. They're like, I just want this to be, you know, as painless as possible. And I don't want my car to get towed. I don't want to pay all this money. I don't want to have to hire an attorney. Like, they don't want to have to do all this stuff. Unfortunately, Either way, you're probably going to have to do that no matter what you do. You can't reason with terrorists.
Yep.
They're going to terrorize you. Like, that's their purpose. So, unfortunately, like, there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, you could speak out against it. Like, there's something you can do, but...
Non-participation. You
know. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have a license. I've never had one.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I've never voted. I've never registered to vote. Like, none of
yeah. those. Yeah. No, and that's the thing. Like, and that, yeah, actually, Lori, you're completely right. That is the best thing you can do for yourself is just exit the system and stop playing their game.
Mm-hmm. Jay Noon, who's a host on Thursdays, he told me that... In Massachusetts specifically, when you sign up for a driver's license in Massachusetts, I forgot what it was now. Sorry, I started talking about it and forgot exactly what it was. But it was something crazy. It was like when you sign up for a license in Massachusetts, you are giving up some kind of right. And I was like,
probably.
What?
So, anytime you sign up for any government service, you're giving up some kind of right. You're consenting to something.
Yeah.
It's... You know, just like any free service that you're getting somewhere, you're consenting to something of value to them.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
don't do it.
Right before the last segment ended, we were talking about this story from Reason Magazine about a guy who actually got arrested for just exercising his own freedom of speech at a city council meeting. He was speaking out about the cops because just, I think the week before they had arrested. Tavin Galanakis, he was a high school football player. I think they said high school football player in the town who got arrested after blowing a 0.0 on a breathalyzer and passing roadside sobriety tests. He was taken to the police station for further drug tests, all of which came back negative. And this guy, his name is Noah Peterson, he was speaking out against the police and saying that they violate people's civil rights in a town meeting. So it says, Peterson approached the microphone and said, "Hello, this is my public comment for the city council meeting, now October 3rd, 2022. Defund Newton Police Department. They are a violent, civil, and human rights violating organization who do not make your community safer. They are also pro-domestic abuse because they are currently employing a domestic abuser and choosing not to release the records about that domestic abuser." Wow. That seems to be something that the cops will go after you for if you tell the public about their, you know, beating their wives, which happens at a 40 or more percent rate in the United States.
That's facts.
That's fact. In the police profession. At that point, the Newton mayor ordered Peterson to stop talking, although his allotted 3 minutes of time had not expired. That's so messed up. When Peterson refused, the mayor ordered the police chief to remove Peterson for violating a council rule forbidding derogatory statements or comments about any individual. That's so stupid. It's not derogatory to tell the town that they're employing a domestic abuser.
Right. The truth isn't derogatory.
Right. It's not like he went up there and said that they're idiots. Wow.
Which they are. But, and that's actually also a fact, so.
Yeah.
That is the truth. That is the truth.
Peterson was handcuffed, arrested, and jailed until his parents could post bond for him. He returned to the next city council meeting to speak during the public comment period and was once again arrested after calling the police chief and mayor fascists. That's awesome.
Also facts. Yeah. I mean, this guy is, you know, based.
So this is a city council rule. Right, and not a law.
Right.
So what law did he break to get arrested?
Probably none, because you can really say anything you want. I mean, and that's the thing, like, the rules, it's like, okay, well, I mean, I will have to read the rest of the story, but I guess if they're like, you're breaking the rules, you gotta go.
That's,
and
yeah,
then they
but
escorted
that's the
him.
Arresting him, like, they took
it
him.
It doesn't say that he fought them, it just they but, escorted him out.
I'm wondering what, maybe it'll come up with what it is.
Refusing to leave and trespassing? I have no clue.
I guess.
It could be a trespass.
But that's I don't know.
Oh, it's right here. It says, Peterson was charged both times with disorderly conduct for disrupting a lawful assembly.
Oh my God, give me a break.
Because he broke the rules.
That's the most common, you know, arrest for
because
nothing.
You can, disorderly conduct. Exactly. Because it's,
conduct, all of those. Yeah.
It's completely... You know, you can just make it up.
That,
yeah,
basically.
Exactly.
It's like, a thing I didn't like.
Yeah. Well, yeah, disorderly conduct.
Right.
Yeah.
However, as Reason's Emma Camp reported in February, those charges did not stick. last Wednesday, Peterson, this is a quote from Emma Camp, her article with Reason from February. It says, last Wednesday, Peterson was found not guilty of his disorderly conduct charge. Adding to his victory, the judge overturned the rule barring derogatory statements about individuals during the city council meeting. So that's awesome. As applied in this particular instance, the Newton City Council rule is violative of the First Amendment, the verdict states. Peterson did not act in any objectively unreasonable manner, the judge added. He read a prepared statement relating to the basic city service of policing. While some may not agree with the content of his comments, the court finds the statements made were not derogatory, nor about an individual. In the event the statements could be found derogatory or a comment about an individual, the court finds these terms vague and overbroad. So, yeah, he won that back in February.
Good.
But it says, Peterson says, the entire mess shows why he stepped up to the podium in the first place.
Absolutely. Yeah, this totally made his point.
Yeah, exactly. Quote, ironically, the actions of the police department have only proven my point. My initial criticism was about the way they treat citizens in our community. They arrested me for exercising my right to free speech, for standing up for what I believe is right. Their reaction to my criticism was a clear demonstration of the very issue I was trying to highlight. Their actions underscore the urgent need for the very reforms I was advocating for. Unquote. Newton officials simply do not appear to take criticism well. As Reason's Emma Camp reported earlier this month, the two Newton police officers who arrested Galanakis have since filed a defamation suit against him for publishing the body cam footage of his own arrest. This is similar to what's happening to our friend Press NH Now on YouTube. He released the body cam footage that was in discovery in his own case, and the cops tried to get a restraining order against him, saying that it was threatening or something like that. So stupid.
Their own actions were threatening.
Aren't they performing a public service?
Right. Yeah. It's crazy. And apparently there is a dumb law that kind of an RSA is what they call it in New Hampshire that was kind of making it sound like it was illegal to post it. So it was so weird. The judge ordered that not that he take down the video off his YouTube, but that he not post any more of it. It's like
that is.
I think he didn't
everything about that so dumb. Like right. He doesn't, and that like the judge there, he's like, I actually don't want to get like into it, so I'm not going to make you take it down, but I'm going to tell you not to do any more.
They
should
that
post
kind
the rest of it.
A lot of times, when you're doing something that is technically legal, but it's stupid that it's illegal, the cops like won't arrest you for it because they don't want you to have a case and overturn the law.
Mm-hmm.
Like Press NH Now and Ian and our co-host Riley went and filmed in the lobby. Actually, I don't think Ian filmed in the lobby just because he like had his own stuff to deal with, but of a court, and they wouldn't arrest them even though it's technically against the policy or whatever because they didn't want to have to fight that in court. And it was pretty obvious that was why. Well, taking a break from this story about this guy and how he ends up bringing a lawsuit against his town for this, we have Chuck on the phone in Washington. Chuck, what's on your mind?
Yeah, my next question was, does this guy sue the city in Massachusetts where his rights were violated for $250,000?
It's Iowa, actually. But yeah, he's going to sue them.
Well, there you go. See, when local governments and stuff like this open up their podium for public comment, they're opening up themselves to have this happen, though, where people will test the limits and see, you know, the First Amendment audit and all this kind of stuff. We have a pending case in my hometown here where somebody was just thrown out of a city council meeting by order of the mayor. And he's suing for $250,000.
Nice.
But at the same time, a lot of these states, state of Washington where I'm at, they don't require local elected bodies like city council or county commissioners to have a period where they receive public comments. So they could, in theory, just run and conduct their business and then not receive any kind of public comment during that meeting and just wait for you to give them an email or a phone call or whatever. So the local governments bring it on themselves when they do this. I'm all for democracy and and people speaking up, but, you know, they'll always throw that that catch-all disorderly conduct thing.
Yeah, it is a catch-all.
It really is.
I'm glad also that that guy you brought up is suing his town and that this guy is. Thank you for the call, Chuck. Obviously, if there's going to be rules, which I don't think that other people should tell other people how to live their lives, and we should just, you know, learn not to hurt and steal from each other. If there's going to be rules, it's kind of funny that the cops think that they don't have to, you know, abide by the rules like the First Amendment, like this guy was exercising his freedom of speech. Unscreen caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Well, we need a plan for what to do on Victory Day when it's the inevitable ultimate triumph of Operation USA Freedom. What? First of all, the enemies of liberty in Congress and in state legislatures need to know what are the immediate demands. What happens on Victory Day? Well, they'll have to open the borders and legalize all drugs and stop collecting school taxes and eliminate all zoning restrictions.
Why would we need those people to do that? Why wouldn't we just ignore those people and do what we want, like do trade and everything we want with people from other countries and, you know, all that good stuff you mentioned? I don't think we need Congress to do that.
Well, we need them to tell their goons to back off of people who are families that are moving into the country. And you need a plan. Like, what happens if if Victory comes at 11 o'clock in the morning when government-run schools are in session? You know, it would be dangerous.
I don't even know what that really means. Why would there be a sudden, all of a sudden, oh, government doesn't exist anymore, but it does? I don't know what you mean. Thank you for the call, Tom.
I mean, I get what he's talking about like, yeah, we should. It's hard because I don't actually, not that I don't care, but I just do whatever I want to do and don't really listen to the government.
It just doesn't make sense what
I do get the point of, like, telling the goons to back off, right? Like, oh, well, it's a you know, a pipe dream, right? Like, oh, well, you know, if we pass all these laws, we're gonna have victory. I mean, even that is just a pipe dream in and of itself. I mean, that's
what
a joke.
It's a contradiction.
I get his point, kind of, where it's like, okay, well, if we pass all these laws, and then to tell the government and their goons to stop attacking people, like, that would be good if the government wasn't attacking people, or governments around the world weren't attacking people.
Like, that's what they do. I don't see how they're suddenly going to have an incentive to listen to the people.
But, and this is why I'm saying, I'm like, yeah, it would be nice. Like, I get the point. Because you can't always live your life and not get attacked. I mean, like, we know this.
Yeah, but you also people to just stop attacking you when they, you know, I think
like, that's not how abuse works.
Yeah.
And that's, so this is the thing. This is a good point. That's not how abuse works. If your husband is abusing you, you can't just be like, oh, the cops said to stop abusing me. The authorities said that you can't abuse me anymore. No, you have to leave him. You have to go far away. You can't have abusers stop being abusive, right? Same thing with the U.S. government. These people are abusive. You can't reason with terrorists.
Yep.
You know, it's just like, that's
they're
not
terrorists.
How it works.
Well, I want to get into why this guy, or how this guy ended up winning his lawsuit, or maybe the lawsuit's going on. It says, Newton officials simply do not appear to take criticism well because they brought a defamation suit against him, the guy, for publishing the body cam footage of his own arrest, as well as claims he made about the officers on social media. A judge tossed out most of those defamation claims. The right to criticize police, even through vulgarities and rude gestures, is firmly enshrined in the First Amendment. As Supreme Court Justice William J. Brennan, Jr. wrote in 1987, in a ruling striking down a Houston ordinance that made it unlawful to oppose or interrupt a police officer, quote, the freedom of individuals verbally to oppose or challenge the police action, to oppose or challenge police action without thereby risking arrest is one of the principal characteristics by which we distinguish a free nation from a police state. Wow. Peterson's lawsuit is seeking compensatory and punitive damages, as well as a judgment declaring Newton's derogatory comments rule unconstitutional. I thought that they kind of already said that they did that. Well, I guess just a judgment saying even further, not just that they have to get rid of that rule, but that it's unconstitutional, I guess. By ordering their opponents' arrested, Newton's officials behaved like petty dictators in a banana republic rather than democratically elected leaders in a constitutional republic, Institute for Justice attorney Brian Morris said. Anyone with a high school diploma should know that having your political opponents arrested is a textbook example of violating someone's First Amendment rights, and we're confident that the courts will agree. Attorneys for the town of Newton did not immediately respond for a request for comment. Of course they didn't, because they're pretty friggin' in the wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, that's the story about the man who was arrested for exercising his freedom of speech just because it went against cops, because he spoke out against cops in his town. We also have a story from the Minnesota Reformer, minnesotareformer.com. Small business owners say they're pressured to hire off-duty MPD cops for security. So, Minneapolis, I think it is, Minneapolis Police Department, says the city is considering challenging a 1997 injunction limiting city control of officers' side gig security gigs. So I think this means that the city wants to get rid of this law, and when they do, they'll be able to control more people and make them hire off-duty officers for their security gigs, which is crazy. I didn't think this was like a thing happening in America, but apparently it is.
Not surprised.
Says, when Maya Santa Maria was opening a Minneapolis club in 2003, a city worker handed her a card from a Minneapolis police officer and said, "You're going to work with this guy." To get a business license, a licensing employee told her she had to hire a certain number of off-duty Minneapolis police officers to provide security. Why? Quote, because they're racist and we're Mexican, Santa Maria said.
Oh, wow.
They didn't want to let Mexicans have nightclubs. That's what
she just, like, came right out and said it.
Right.
Like, she did not hold back.
It says that's her conclusion after seeing other similar-sized white owners-owned venues escape the same mandate.
Weird. So this isn't a law, then? I'm just so confused about what's going on.
So basically, maybe it is a mandate in the licensing area, but they're just letting some people get away with it.
If you want a license, okay, so they're kind of, because they can kind of pick and choose who they give a license to.
Yeah,
based
legally,
on,
but not, like,
based on
not
hiring right. off-duty police officers, though?
I mean, that doesn't sound, if it's a mandate and they can point to something. But
either way, I feel like they would, they had, you know, pressured her into this. So let's get into it. It's a really weird, interesting story. I've never heard of anything like this. 603-283-6160. You have one more segment to get on the air with us. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. President Biden made history today by becoming the first American president to visit Israel during a time of war. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu welcomed him.
I wanted to be here today. I want the people of Israel, the people of the world, to know where the United States stands.
Netanyahu described Biden's visit as deeply moving. Americans in Gaza want out.
More than 350 Americans in Gaza are seeking assistance from the U.S. State Department for evacuation. That's according to a U.S. official who talked to NBC News. The negotiations have been focused on enabling the secure exit of foreign citizens and facilitating humanitarian aid. I'm John Schaefer.
The House of Representatives still without a speaker. Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan was unable to secure 217 votes.
Jim Jordan of the state of Ohio has received 199.
Dave Collins, USA News.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Live talk radio that you control. If you want to get in on the conversation in the last segment, 603-283-6160 is the number. 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Nikki.
And we were getting into the story right before the last segment ended that is so crazy and weird to me. Because I have just never heard of a story like this, or a law like this. Well, really, it's an ordinance, I think it said.
A mandate.
For people who are getting a business license, they'd have to hire security, and it would have to be off-duty Minneapolis police officers. But it gets worse than just having to hire someone. It says... she said that it was because they're racist and she's Mexican.
Also, I love that she just called them out like that.
Yeah.
More people need to do that. Say it like it is. Speak your truth.
She said that's her conclusion, or sorry, the article said that's her conclusion after seeing other similar-sized white-owned venues escape the same mandate. With over $1 million invested, Santa Maria had little choice. You got to do what they say, she said. Then MPD socked it to me, she said. They started out paying the officers $40 to $45 an hour, always more than one officer per night.
Wow.
And they didn't just work 1 or 2 hours. They charged a minimum of 4 hours no matter how many they actually worked, she said. The pay gradually increased to nearly $60 an hour.
What? How does that even happen, though? How can they just dictate what she has to pay them?
It's because you would think we're in a free country, so I just can't even believe this is happening.
Yeah.
Quote, I spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, she said. There were many years I wasn't making it, and they didn't give it to me.
So this is for years?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And being a business owner, I mean, it's hard being a business owner, and there's a lot of expenses. and it should be her decision whether she has security or not. And it's like, okay, well, you know, at first I started off, I thought I needed this really good security, so I was paying these guys $60 an hour. But I'm not making as much money now, so now I'm going to hire, like, some random kid that'll do it for 15. You know what I mean? Like, as a business owner,
you should
deserve
be able to make that decision.
Like, exactly. It shouldn't be like, oh, you know, our price is just going to keep increasing and...
Oh, sorry, I was, like, thinking of what we would talk about next, sorry. But we are going to finish this article here. She says that she spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, and there were years, or many years that she wasn't making it. That sounds terrible. Many years, not just, like, you know, a year. And they didn't give a damn. Santa Maria was later required to come up with security plans outlining the number of officers needed per night. The officers insist, so they're also, like, you know, requiring her specific things she has to do, you know, like with her time as a business owner, which they don't have a lot of time. The officers insisted on getting paid cash, she said.
Okay, that is sketchy. That is starting to sound really sketchy now.
It sounds like the mafia.
No kidding.
You have to hire us for your public or your private security team,
even if you don't want to.
Even if you don't want to, and you have to pay us a specific amount, no matter how much we work.
In a specific currency.
In a specific currency. Cash only. No records.
She feared if she didn't oblige, she'd lose her license. Eventually, another officer helped schedule off-duty work. Derek Chauvin. Wow. He worked security at
that
her club.
That sounds familiar.
Oh, he's the guy that killed George Floyd?
I was like, that name sounds familiar.
Yeah, so...
Because that was Minneapolis.
It says another officer...
The plot thickens.
I wonder what that even means, that another officer helped schedule off-duty work. It says he worked security at her club for 17 years. They were in charge, and everybody had to go through them, she said. El Nuevo Rodeo became Minnesota's largest Latino concert venue, and while there were a few brawls, we never were a problem property, Santa Maria said. So it's like they didn't really need this much security, probably. MPD officers would usually sit in their squad cars, fully uniformed, and do crossword puzzles or chat with their girlfriends or spouses.
So they're literally, I mean, that's what cops do anyways.
Yeah.
You know how many times I've, like, driven past a cop and I'm like, oh, he's passed out in his cruiser?
Yeah, I saw a cop in such a weird, funny, like, hiding place. Like, when, I don't know, I was with Ian, so it had to be a couple weeks ago before he went to jail for selling Bitcoin. And this cop was, like, backed up into the forest.
Yeah, they do. They get crazy.
So
it's
funny.
Like, oh my gosh.
They
but
hide.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's how you protect people, is by hiding from them.
Yeah,
I know.
With your ghost cruisers and hiding in the woods.
Right, the black-on-black decals.
Mm-hmm.
It says sometimes they'd go help MPD with calls, like not even helping her.
So she's...
While they're off-duty?
While they're off-duty and they're being paid by her to protect her club, which she doesn't even want them to do, I guess.
That's crazy.
So, they were gone half the time. They were on my payroll, but they were gone, she said. She sold the club in 2019 when Santa Maria saw Chauvin pinning George Floyd on the pavement in the video that shocked the world. She recognized both because Floyd worked as a bouncer inside the club in 2019. I wondered if this was the same club because I'd always heard that they had worked in the same club at one point. Yeah.
I didn't know
It's really weird.
So, he was the bouncer inside the club. Were the cops private security outside? Just parked outside?
That's a great question. I would think that they...
She said they were parked out in their cruiser doing crossword puzzles and talking to their girlfriends. But if they wanted cops stationed there, shouldn't they just have cops stationed there instead of forcing the business owner to hire an off-duty cop to sit outside?
Yeah. No, it makes no sense at all.
It says that El Nuevo Rodeo burned to the ground during the subsequent riots. Oh my god, that's terrible.
What? Okay, this is like a wild story.
Yeah.
Minneapolis is quite the place.
That's just really terrible that, this business that this woman,
that's why...
puts money into.
Oh, but did she sell it? Did she sell it or?
I hadn't seen that she sold it yet.
I thought you said, she sold it in 2019.
Oh.
Or maybe I was confused.
No, because she recognized both because Floyd worked as a bouncer inside the club in 2019.
I might just be imagining things.
She got, she started the club in 2003, so For oh, there it is. It says yes. She sold the club in 2019. Okay, well.
Okay, so I did. I was like, I swear that was. But then
it's someone's club. Someone owned this club.
Exactly.
And
it wasn't
their fault that George Floyd died, and somebody burned down this business owner's business because of it. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Santa Maria's allegations about MPD off-duty work are echoed by the experiences of other business owners documented in government reports and even remarked upon by the city's new police chief, Brian O'Hara. He said the system is ripe for corruption, citing a federal investigation in Jersey City where a dozen cops were arrested due to widespread corruption of off-duty work. The timing is favorable for more rigorous oversight. MPD is soon to be operating under both state and federal supervision following damning investigative reports about racist policing, and O'Hara is a newish outsider who speaks the rhetoric of reform. It kind of doesn't seem like a good thing for this, you know, way for this to end up. Like, oh, well, the people of Minneapolis begged for reform of their cops, so what they're going to get is the feds in their city.
I know.
Really terrible.
Oh, gosh.
Way worse cops, basically.
This is how cops started, was they would kind of force themselves on business owners as security.
Hmm. Also, going and grabbing slaves, like, it's always been a racist institution. It really doesn't surprise me that this woman...
Yeah, right? That's a good point. And it's not surprising that cops are obviously blatantly super racist all the time. I mean, this is...
And so, like, it's what their profession came from.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is, you know, historically speaking, duh.
It says, changes to off-duty policing face a key obstacle, however. A 1997 court injunction restricts how much the city can manage officers' side gigs. Given the injunction, the city can only seek major reforms via the collective bargaining process, which means if the city wants to change off-duty policies, it would likely have to give up something in return. That's so weird. Like, what kind of place is this?
It's saying that it only has so much power to restrict them, but also you have to hire them. Is that what the article says?
I was really confused about it in just the subtitle of this article. I thought that the city wanted to make it to where more businesses have to hire off-duty cops. Now it's saying, like, oh, they've kind of seen the error of their ways, but, oh, their hands are tied because of this injunction. So, it's a little weird. It says, here's how the off-duty work program works.
Okay.
Some businesses, like large nightclubs, are required by the city to have security, which, until 2020, sometimes had to be off-duty Minneapolis police officers. The city can also require that organizers of large events and businesses plagued with a lot of 911 calls also hire off-duty MPD officers. Businesses may also voluntarily hire off-duty officers for security and traffic control and negotiate pay and hours directly with officers. It's just, like, terrible that you can't just, like, hire your friend that lives down the street that does security work, you know? You have to hire... officer.
Well, yeah, because you can't, because that's how the mafia works, right? You know, it's like, you can't, good luck doing, you know, having the same business that the mafia is doing, right? Like, you're not, you know, if they're selling pies, you better not be selling pies, because they're gonna, you know,
they don't want competition.
Yeah, they're gonna pay you a visit.
It says the city doesn't keep track of how much officers are working or how much they're paid, or even have access to the contracts.
Well, yeah, because it's in cash, so there's, like, no paper trails.
Right, that's so weird, yeah.
I'm surprised. That actually is surprising to me.
I wonder if they're paying taxes.
They don't have access to the contracts, but they force you to hire.
Yeah. Interesting. There has to be something.
How do they even know that you've done it if they don't have access to the contract?
Yeah, like, this whole thing is so sketchy.
Right.
So sketchy. I mean, like, so many red flags.
Off-duty work often pays a lot more, up to hundreds of dollars per hour, than working overtime for MPD. Some officers are still paid in cash, increasing the risk of tax evasion. Not that that's really, like, it's not like I believe in taxes, but I just think it's kind of ironic and funny that they would evade paying taxes, and they probably do, because they insist to be paid in cash.
Is it ironic that the law enforcement constantly breaks the law?
No, well, yeah, it's ironic, but it's not surprising.
Yeah.
And several business owners and Minneapolis officials said some small business owners, particularly those owned by immigrants, have been led to believe that they must hire MPD officers or risk getting ghosted by police. That's exactly like the mafia.
Mm-hmm. Yes, like this is what I'm saying. Like this is like, because, you know, we always draw these lines like, oh, the government's terrorists. And, you know, we always like draw these lines. And sometimes it's not blatantly obvious and we're kind of whatever, like not like
people
we're making
like, oh,
it up.
You sound crazy.
Yeah, like there are certain things we said where it's like, I could see how people could disagree with me. This is blatant. Like so blatantly in your face, like exactly how the mafia operates. Like there is no question. Anyone who says anything different is lying to themselves and just is willingly being ignorant.
If you don't know what we mean, basically the mafia in like, you know, 1920s New York City, you would have this idea of, and it's not like this didn't really happen, I just don't have an exact example, but you would have this idea of them going to business owners being like, oh, it's a nice window, be ashamed if someone broke it, you gotta hire me for taking for security, and if you don't, someone might break your window, type of thing. Like,
yeah.
That's basically the exact same thing, like, oh, you have to hire us for security, or else, like, if you call the cops, we might not show up.
Right. Yeah, terrible. or we'll revoke your business license, or what, because that seems like what she was really worried about. She invested all this money. I mean, and that's the thing, like, going back to, like, don't even bother asking for permission, because you're just trouble. That gives them all of the leverage over you.
We talked about so many things that make me hate the government today, but business licenses are so terrible. It's so ridiculous that you'd have to ask anyone for permission to just run a business, something that's going to help possibly like thousands of people, definitely your whole community, raise people out of poverty. It's like it being illegal to like donate to charity.
Yeah.
When you're
which sometimes it is. Sometimes it is illegal to like feed homeless people.
House them sometimes.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah. Oh, gosh.
It says it was exactly this arrangement that caught the attention of the U.S. Department of Justice in its 2011 report on the New Orleans Police Department. So they were doing the same thing there. In fact, the MPD off-duty situation has parallels to New Orleans Police Department before the feds arrived. The recent DOJ investigative report about MPD drew only a passing but still condemnatory, I've never had to say that word, so I probably said it wrong, reference to off-duty jobs. The DOJ was looking for racism. Some business owners of color say, look no further. Bazim Sabri, owner of a Somali mall called Carmel Mall and a Latino mall called Plaza Mexico on Lake Street. This must be in Minneapolis still, since it's the Minnesota Reformer. Said he held a Cinco de Mayo party every year for 27 years to encourage people to come to the area and see that it really isn't a war zone. It is a beautiful place. For years, they never had had police there, and then about a dozen years ago, he said there was a shooting a few blocks away from the event. The city began requiring him to hire off-duty police. Lake Street has been tremendously damaged, and instead of helping us, they're hurting us, said Sabri, who once went to prison for bribing a city council member. I wonder why they said that. Randomly, it's kind of weird. The officer rates have skyrocketed, he said. He pays officers $150 to $160 an hour, and a scheduler also charges $15 to $20 an hour. The guy who so instead of him doing the scheduling that is just extra work that people would be required to do, like that lady who owned the club, well, this guy has to pay a scheduler to do that job. Despite the big payouts, when he calls the police for help, they don't always respond, Sabri said. About 6 weeks ago, a man came into his office with a gun and said he was going to shoot someone. They called 911, but police never came.
Wow.
So even if you pay, they don't show up.
Yep.
Great.
I mean, it's definitely not about protecting people.
No, of course not.
It's about making money, making $150 an hour to, you know, force someone to let you on their property and
do crossword puzzles.
Yeah, do crossword puzzles and talk to your wife.
Honestly, though, I'm going to be real. I would rather them do crossword puzzles than whatever else they're going to do.
Well, if
you know what I mean? Like, obviously, if you're getting paid for a job, you should at least do that job. If you're supposed to be security, you should act as security. But, like, it's better than the alternative of them, like, murdering George Floyd and, like, raping women and, like, beating their wives. At least crossword puzzle seems pretty tame.
Those are in their off time.
Oh, right, yeah.
Vacation
well, at least
time.
We're not paying them to do that.
It's just, like, this guy
could
someone could have showed up to stop this guy with a gun and be a really tough guy. You know, their jobs are so hard, right?
Yeah, so they dangerous.
Do things like stop a guy who has a gun and is threatening to shoot people.
Except they actually don't.
But they just don't show up.
They're just revenue collectors.
Yep. Says an MPD spokesman said, going back to July 1st, all calls we found relating to guns at Carmel Mall did have a police response. And none of the calls matched the details of Sabri's account. So the MPD spokesman says that he's lying. Jonathan Soto, owner of EME Antro Nightclub at 5th Avenue and Lake Street, hired MPD officers, including Chauvin, that guy who killed George Floyd, to monitor his parking lot for a couple years, but stopped after Floyd's murder. The officers wanted to be paid in cash and would sometimes leave to respond to police calls, like the other lady said, which benefited the city, he said. The city kind of liked that, Soto said, because they were literally getting work out of him that this business owner was paying for. That's crazy. The city kind of liked that, Soto said. The FBI interviewed him after Floyd was killed, asking how much he paid officers. That's weird. Other business owners said the officers don't always respond to problems right under their noses. Santa Maria said the club next to hers was tiny but had to have their own cop, who she described as an old guy who would refuse to help anybody from her club. After several East African-owned stores on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis were vandalized in September 2019, Capital Cafe owner, that looks like it's a business, Abdriaman Awad called his friend KB Brown, owner of a North Minneapolis print shop and a member of the Main Street Alliance of Minnesota, a group of progressive business owners. KB Brown said the detectives were rude and disrespectful to Awad. Awad later said MPD later told him they'd have to pay off-duty officers $145 an hour to provide security. He returned the next night and saw almost no police presence despite the alleged hate crime. In his view, MPD was sending a message that the cafe would only get protection if it hired off-duty officers. It's the same thing. It's mm-hmm. the mafia stuff. So it looks like this story does go on. It's pretty long, but I found those stories really interesting. And if you want to read the rest of it, it's at MinnesotaReformer.com. And I just thought that was a really crazy, crazy story. Moving on, though, I was going to bring in this story. It's not really that important or good, but I think it's funny. It's Elon Musk to charge new X users $1 a year for basic accounts. So Twitter is now called X. And I don't really like saying it. I just still say Twitter and tweeting. I'm not going to
I think
say
everybody does. Anyone know. That says X is...
Try hard.
Yeah.
You want Elon to love you or something.
Something.
It says Musk is going to charge people $1 a year for a basic account. New users in the Philippines and New Zealand are the first to be asked for an annual payment in the latest change to the platform.
That's weird to like.
It's so weird.
Single them
$1.
Out or whatever. Oh, I don't. Honestly, yeah, $1. Bye. Like, I'll delete my account. I'm not paying. I'm
only new users.
Oh.
So if you're existing, then you don't have to pay.
So that's just like trying to get people to not make account. Like, that just seems so dumb.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's always going to be new users, but their trial run for it or whatever in New Zealand and the Philippines was just the new users. And it says X, the social media site formerly known as Twitter, has begun charging new users in New Zealand and the Philippines to use the platform's basic features and aims to expand the annual fee to all new users globally. That's just kind of weird. It seems so weird. Like, one day I'm going to be able to be like, I am one of the grandfathered in Twitter users. I didn't have to pay the dollar. It's so dumb.
I'm just
weird.
Trying to. This is just typical me making everything a conspiracy, right? But I'm just trying to figure out like what Like, really, because so many people are very critical of Elon Musk, because obviously he's, like, a really great businessman. I mean, he's, like, one of the richest men in the world right now, has, you know, several very successful businesses, and then this was the one flop, right? Like, he bought Twitter just to make a point, right, and now he's losing, like, millions of dollars on it, essentially. So what was, I don't believe that someone like Elon Musk would make a mistake like that, you know what I mean? So I want to know, like, what is the real, like, why did he buy Twitter?
Like, are you saying
what is the real, what is his real motive?
Like, is he trying to make Twitter suck now? Because, like, it's kind of seems like
or
using that.
Does he, is it a control thing? I don't, because, yeah, it's like you're calling it X, bad business move.
Yeah.
Making people pay for it, bad business moves. Like, none of the changes he's making are good. So I'm just, like, there has to be something else there. It really matters, but...
There was some other weird stuff he did, like forcing everyone to be...
Verified?
He took away all the check marks, right? And then you have to pay for them now?
You have to pay $8 for them,
You have to pay for them now. And then there was... No one can block him. No one can block Elon Musk.
It's just weird. It's like, what is... Like,
it's some weird control thing. Like,
that's
he
what
wants
I think,
to
like,
be liked desperately.
Yes, like, this is like, his weird, like, autistic plea at,
be
like...
my friend.
Yeah, something like, I don't know, like, there's something, and it might be as simple as that, right? It might be something, like, really... Yeah, like, I don't know, like, what is it? Like, I don't... There's.
It must be hard to have friends when you're...
Yeah, when you're Elon Musk, yeah.
When you don't know if people actually want to be your friend, or...
Yeah.
They just want... money or
that's why I'm poor and not famous so I have real friends.
What's weird is under the trial the new users in the Philippines and New Zealand will have to pay about 75 cents and 85 cents respectively each year to be able to post and engage on X. It's just like how is that going to make you any money? Like fewer people sign up and then they won't see the ads, which make you money instead of getting 75 cents from them.
Ads would make more sense.
It doesn't make any sense to me, but Free Talk Live will be back tomorrow, 603-283-6160. Save that on your phone. It's been Free Talk Live. Bye.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage, and you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.